That's Can't Turn Away by the Bus Drivers, and this is episode 22 of Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy for Monday, January 24th, 2011. As always, I'm Jeremy.
This is Jeff.
Good evening, Jeff.
Well, good evening to you, Jeremy.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, we do the show live, pretty much live every Monday night at 7:30 Eastern, which is 4:30 Pacific. You can join us in our chat room at radioshowonline.com. You can also find our Facebook page in there. We want to give a special shout out to our Facebook friend of the day. Since all the TV stations, and like everyone does a Facebook friend of the day. So we thought that it would only be appropriate to pick out one of our 93 Facebook fans. So Cynthia Maria Brownie is our Facebook friend of the day. There's not really much we can do. We'll put a picture of her on our page, on our Facebook page. But she has her profiles like blocked, so I can't really tell you any interesting facts about her. I can just
she has good taste in internet radio shows.
That's right. All right, Jeff. So how was your weekend?
Jeremy, it was excellent. I want to give a shout out to Phil in the chat room.
Phil, what's up, Phil?
Phil was hanging out. Hope he's going to contribute a little bit, but love to see someone new in the chat room. I feel like every week we have a new name.
Yeah.
In the chat room. It's really hard to keep up with these people. But
it is hard to keep up with.
But Jeremy, the weekend was great. First weekend back in Cleveland in 3 weeks. Spent the two prior to that in Los Angeles. So good to be back home. Spent a lot of time around Cleveland State. There were two home games for the Vikings. They were home Thursday night against Detroit, which they won. And then Saturday was a great game against Wright State. Two conference games. They won both of them. Nice. They are now 18-3, just past the midway point of the college basketball season. Trending very well. They are tied for first place in the Horizon League. But kind of interesting story about the Wright State game. You never like to enjoy someone else's problems or misfortune.
I do.
We've always said that as a show.
Oh, yeah.
The official line of the show is that we don't enjoy that. But one of the Wright State players unfortunately got a DUI sometime, I guess, or end of last year, within the last couple months. So I noticed the Cleveland State student section was being very vocal.
Yeah.
And when this
what was their
player,
chant? Did they clever?
They were doing a DUI chant along with a clap, but you couldn't really understand it at first because it was kind of muffled. And then they all had signs that they were holding under below. Basically, they were all standing up against the rail. So under the next to the rail, over the rail, they all had signs with big printouts that would say .163. So you saw a row of signs that read .163. And as the poor guy would go to the free throw line, it had to be a little distracting as they're screaming his blood alcohol level, chanting DUI.
Very
classy.
Very, very clever. I saw that you had... I saw that you had checked in on Foursquare to the Wolstein Center, and I can't see it now. Somebody had somebody following you had a very clever retort on Wright State.
I believe it was Wright State, wrong school.
Wright State, wrong school.
Yes,
exactly. Yes. You're such clever friends.
That was my buddy Tim. That was pretty funny. A lot of cleverness going on that day. But the Cleveland State Vikings, man, the fans are really doing whatever they feel is necessary to help. Either encourage their team or discourage the opponent. So that made for quite an atmosphere Saturday at the Wolstein Center. But yeah, the good news was they won the game. They're 18-3. They've got two road games in Chicago this weekend. Then they come back. It's on. They come back Thursday against Valpo, who they're tied with. That's Thursday, February 3rd. And then Saturday the 5th is an ESPN game, nationally televised game in Cleveland. They're doing, for the Butler game, they're doing a blackout, encouraging fans to wear black clothing. So I will be wearing a ski mask. I will be head to toe. You won't see any part of me other than black clothing. So that should be pretty interesting.
I think that could lead to like a bunch of that could lead to problems. It
could,
seems to me like I'm people not... going to wear trench coats and or other color related humor.
That's true, but it's a blackout and it should look pretty good on TV. They want to really jazz it up for ESPN. And they may sell out that game. There's early buzz.
So why? But Cleveland State's colors aren't black.
They're not. It's more of just something to show your support for Cleveland State and just to show the effect of that on TV, that all the Cleveland State fans are wearing black.
But that seems more like a mourning type thing. That would be like, how come everyone comes in and like turns their back to the game the entire time? That's to show their support. doesn't seem
well, to... Well, I think they still want to be able to watch the game, Jeremy. I mean, they're right. all going
But there. That's what I'm saying. I mean, but...
I mean, they're going to be able to see through your eye. I guess I'm going to follow you on this.
Because wearing black doesn't seem like a, ooh, United.
It's a show of solidarity. But all the Cleveland State fans, it's going to look very, I think, cool from a TV angle as well when we're on national TV. Look at all those Cleveland State fans showing support. And there's going to be a little section of Butler fans that won't be wearing black.
And there's going to be the one white guy in the crowd. And everyone's going to attack him.
Hope to see you at the game. Hope that white man is you.
Now someone at work, I'd overheard a conversation. They were kind of mocking Cleveland. They were not mocking Cleveland State particularly, but just talking about, you know, college basketball. Like his friend had wanted him to go see Cleveland State and was trying to get him to go to the game. And he's like, college basketball? You know, who wants to really go see college basketball? How do you compare it? Now, let's not compare it to the Cavs, but, you know, professional versus college, pros, cons, the way the game's played or the camaraderie or any, what do you think the overall difference
is? Well, the first factor I'd say is the game experience, I think, is a lot better on the college level. I mean, you're clearly closer to the court. It's more informal. My seats, for example, I'm right behind the bench, a couple rows behind the bench. I can hear the coaches talking, which I enjoy. And I just think you've got these college athletes playing their hearts out. Compared to what I've seen in the NBA, you've got wealthy, older guys. Sometimes I wonder if they're really motivated. And then particularly the pricing, you factor in the pricing of it, which is always back to me, the value of it. NBA, to walk into the queue to see the 8-35 Cleveland Cavaliers, you're not going to get in and out for under $50.
Yeah.
Whereas Cleveland State, they've got this great, you get in for $10, they've got hoopy hour, $2 beers before the game, for an hour and a half before the game.
Oh, so they do have alcohol during the game?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Okay, that was something
that I wondered. College football games, they don't, but college basketball, they do.
Oh, cool.
So there was a hoopy hour before the game, $2 pretzels, hot dogs, beers. So, not to get back to money, it's not all about price, but to me, it's just the overall experience is better. You're closer to the action, and it's a much better value, and they're winners.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like to root for a winner?
Right.
They're in first place. They're making a great run. So you put all those together, I think your friend's a huge loser.
I didn't say it was my friend.
Oh, your friend's friend.
I said it was somebody that I worked with.
Okay, someone you work with. The person you referenced.
Remain nameless.
I like, this is like a trial here. We can't get anything wrong.
Yeah.
The person that you referenced, I think, is a loser.
He shall remain nameless just in case he's listening.
But yeah, seriously, I think it's kind of a bad attitude. I would at least like to at least go see a Cleveland State game if I'm this guy. You go check it out, maybe one game a year. I don't see what the harm would be to go check out Cleveland State. You might like it.
Right, right. What about the Lake Erie Monsters? Are they in season right now?
They are in season. I'm actually going to a game. A friend of mine organized a group outing there a week from Friday. But yeah, they are. I've heard that's a great great experience as well.
They have $1 $1 draft nights.
$1. Actually, yeah, my friend Tim did do that. I don't think about it. He went last Thursday and they were talking about the beers. There was a picture of him with a beer in each hand.
Yeah, I don't know when the next $1 beer nights are on. Look at this all live. I don't know. Oh, this is a link to a forum. All right, well, I failed. Anyway.
Well, anyway, so my point is pro versus college. I just think the college athletes, they play their hearts out. You're closer to the action. I really enjoy that aspect of it. And then when they're winning, it kind of puts me over the top to really, really get behind them. So Cleveland State, I'm excited for the next 6 weeks. Should be a good run.
Cleveland State Viking basketball, catch it.
Catch it. Catch the fever.
And dress in black.
Yeah, Viking fever.
Yeah. Well, my weekend was kind of tame, I guess, in compared to basketball game stuff, because I'm at the tail end of my January cleanse.
We're all very excited about that.
This weekend was juicing. So everything that I ate from Saturday morning through this afternoon, actually, all went through a juicer. So it's pretty much, you know, classic juice concoctions such as apple, carrot, ginger.
I do like ginger.
Yeah. See, I put
by the ginger snaps behind you.
I don't think those are... I don't think that's real ginger, though.
Oh, there's a percentage of real ginger in there.
A very small percentage. Where are the ginger snaps?
Let me look at the ingredients.
Yellow box right there.
Wow. Nope, that's your dog food. You don't have a dog, Jeff. Why do you have dog food?
That's cereal, Jeff.
Oh, cereal. All right. Unbleached enriched flour. That's not good, Jeff.
Oh, Jeremy, we could go to the cover.
Riboflavin. Molasses.
To the cover, Jeremy.
Soybean oil.
The front, Jeremy.
Lemonade. Oh, there is ginger right before salt. Right between cottonseed oil and salt.
We could have just that right there.
And it says on the front, made with real ginger.
And that would have solved the... Yeah. But anyway, you were juicing with probably more concentrated ginger than I have in my ginger steps.
Yeah, I put a piece of ginger, like a 1-inch piece of I put a one inch piece of
ginger in, and saw like the amount of juice came out, and didn't seem like that much. So I'm like, oh, I'll just put the whole thing in, and then I mixed it with the rest of the juice, and very gingery. It was kind of a spicy root, you know, similar to a horseradish, not as intense as horseradish, obviously. But yeah, so word to the wise, if you're going to be juicing ginger, a little bit goes a long way.
That's good to know. That's good to know. What other internet?
And I'm not talking about if you're going to be shooting up one of the stars of Gilligan's Island with steroids.
Oh, wow.
When I say juicing ginger, that's not what I mean.
If that was like 1980, everyone would be dying.
But they wouldn't be able to listen to the show because there was no internet.
Right.
As we know it. Anyway. So yeah, you know, I was surprised. So of all the stuff that I did for the cleanse, this was the roughest. And yesterday, I was pretty much starving. Yesterday was pretty rough. Today, though, we had one of the companies that we deal with. They were in town and took a bunch of us out to lunch. So I decided to break the juice fast and went back to vegan this afternoon. Went to Winking Lizard, but had a black bean burger. Substituted rice for fries, even though the fries were vegan. But you know, just trying to be a little more healthy. And I do have to give props out too. So on the way home, stopped at Flaming Ice Cube on Public Square. Have you been to Flaming Ice Cube? It's cool for a couple of reasons. One, it's one of the like cheaper places in that area, like along Euclid, that is actually open late. They're open till 9, Monday through Saturday. They're actually open on the weekends. They're open on Saturdays. They're open till 9 o'clock, Monday through Saturday. And they have like lots of sandwiches, you know, burgers, sides. It's a good place to you can sit in there or get stuff to go. And everything's all vegan. Like, and you wouldn't think of like, but even people that are omnivores and eat everything, like you can go in there and have like, it's the food's like just really good.
That's so open a little later, you said.
Yeah, it's open till 9 o'clock. Like lots of the places around there, like Zoop, you know, that closes kind of early, and or like Jimmy John's, you know, is right there. Like those places kind of close.
Standard hours, but this is nice. That's a good option down there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's definitely good. So check out Flaming Ice Cube, Public Square. Now, did manage to get go out and see True Grit at the Capitol Theater in Detroit Shoreway. Did you go? Have you seen True Grit yet?
I saw True Grit. Yeah, I saw it just after Christmas.
What were your thoughts?
Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. I know it was billed. Sometimes these movies with all this hype, you sort of wonder when you go into it, is it really going to live up to all the hype that's out there?
Right.
I thought it lived up to it and exceeded it. I was really, really enjoyed it. Although, I mean, when you get a cast like that, you figure it's probably going to be a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
It really lived up to what I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was cool cinematography. Jeff Bridges is now typecast as like the old drunk guy.
Yeah.
Like in everything. What was the other one with, you know, where he was the rock star? You know, he seems to play this old drunk guy.
Well, Big Lebowski, he played it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So he plays the part well. Yeah, I thought the girl in it, the actress, was very good too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it was a good flick. It wasn't. It's not like an action packed tight movie, though, I wouldn't say. It's not
a classic Western.
It's got its moments. It definitely has its moments, but it's not like a buddy of mine. The guy, for those of you who listen to episode 21, the guy who had texted me and mentioned what he was doing during our show last time, he saw it and said it wasn't as entertaining as it wasn't as action-packed as he expected it to be. So, but anyway, after that, then went to Johnny Mango's to grab some juice. At the juice bar. It was tough going in Johnny Mango's and like smelling all that and not being able to eat, but just drink juice at the bar. Now you went there for Sunday brunch though.
Wheat waffles.
Wheat?
The wheat waffles are incredible. Incredible.
I don't think I've had those.
Gotta give it a try.
Is it just a what else is it something they put on it or what makes them?
No, it's just the batter's different. It's just so good.
Huh.
And they have like strawberries. You can get different toppings.
Yeah, yeah.
That was really good. I did see the juice machine behind the bar though. It's like a huge apparatus.
It's just like ours. Like you have to put in. You know, have to cut an apple first into like 6 pieces, and then you shove it in the juicer and you wait and you shove it like piece by piece. Yeah, those industrial strength juicers. You can like throw the entire apple just in the top.
Yeah,
it comes right out.
Not what I would have expected.
Yeah, yeah. So
well, and just to finish up the weekend real quick, I also did this winter bar crawl.
Oh, Saturday. Yeah. I'm sorry I couldn't join you.
You were invited, but
I'm sure I was missed.
This cleanse has really taken over everything.
I know, I know.
But it was a great success. Just did it on short notice. Ended up getting a little over 30 people to come out. And we did a little crawl down Columbus.
Columbus.
The less heralded Columbus bars, which people don't tend to head out to as much. But it started at Rivergate Tavern, my favorite bar that somehow is still in business. That it's kind of a day-to-day thing. I don't know how they do it. There's a handful of people in there, but they still stay open. Went up to Major Hoople's, which was hopping. Hoople's was even
Hoople's was hopping?
There was a lot of people there. That's just a great bar to hang out.
Yeah.
That was kind of the central. That was where they're an hour and a half, 2 hours. We're there the most of all the bars. And then we're up to Duck Island.
Okay.
Duck Island, past Velvet Tango Room. Weren't really dressed for Velvet Tango Room. Didn't really have the budget for Velvet Tango Room. Yeah. So we decided to just keep walking and hang out at Duck Island, which I really enjoyed. I don't get there very often.
You had the budget for Duck Island.
A lot of people there didn't.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, people weren't really able to a bar crawl. You know, we didn't want to go in there and then start spending $15 on one drink.
Kinda yeah.
Changes the flow.
Right. I went into Duck Island to me is like another one of those Tremont bars, like Clark Bar, like what's by Christmas Story House.
I would say it's Clark Bar, but a little nicer. It's a little more. It's a little more renovated and a little more modern than Clark Bar, I'd say.
Yeah, it's a little more. It's the evening version of Clark Bar. Like Clark Bar, you would go during the day, and I feel like Duck Island's more of the place you go. I don't think they're open during the day. Like you can, Duck Island's more of like the night place. I don't know. We went in there once and were there really early. Some event or something was going on. Something was going on in Tremont. We stopped by there and we walked up and didn't even think it was open. I guess it was just before they had opened. And the guy's like, oh, no, come in. So it's just like Jen and I sitting at the bar with the bartender. I mean, I think I had a Pabst in a can, you know. And then eventually people start coming in. There was a little girl. There was like a guy and like his, I don't know, 8-year-old daughter. They were there and like were in the back room. It was kind of an odd crowd. It seems like the place like you could go and you would see a strange mix of people. Like you could probably get some good stories from hanging out at Duck Island in Tremont.
Yeah, it's a place you got to, if you live in Tremont, live around Tremont. It's unbelievable. I don't go there more often. I go there once a year, and I'm a half mile from that place. So it was just yeah. I love that we all got this thing together. This Cammy, my friend Cammy, and I organized this thing Saturday. We had to include Duck Island because we want to go to bars we don't normally go to.
Right, right.
So I was really glad I went there. You're right. First, there were characters. Characters welcome.
Characters welcome.
As we said before, it was very much along the USA Network line of things.
Yeah.
And then I got to say one more thing. I this is why I love Cleveland. I know you love Cleveland.
I love Cleveland, Jeff.
I love Cleveland almost as much as you, maybe even more. My buddy Brian Kelly sent me an email this morning. Now, today is January 24th.
Today is January 24th.
The Indians, Cleveland Indians, the opening day is Friday, April 1st.
Yes.
I got an email this morning.
April Fool's Day.
With some other people talking about a party for opening day for the Indians.
Wow.
And I just love that these Cleveland friends of mine are already thinking, you know, it's January. Let's start an email chain going. I'm going to have people over. He's had people over his place before the Indians game. Isn't that great?
Yep.
Monday in January,
yep.
You get someone start thinking about, here's what we're going to do opening day. We're going to do this. We're going to come over early. We'll start drinking. We'll have some food.
Yep.
It made my day.
Yep.
So and that's why I love this city. You can't get anyone here down.
And it has nothing to do with the Indians' record.
No, actually, it's really the opposite of that. The Indians could be one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the youngest. But it's about baseball, back, spring, let's do this. And I just love that I got that email today.
Yeah. I was talking to some people at lunch today about what their plans were. Were they planning to take the day off for St. Patrick's Day? Because now, you know, working downtown, right in the thick of it, I mean, we're right at East 6th and Euclid. It's very tough to resist.
The temptations.
Oh, man. You know, you go in there.
I'm gonna stand out your window and just yell.
I mean, it's pretty much, if you're going to go to work that day, you don't want to leave your building for lunch because you just won't come back.
You'll get drawn in.
Like, the crowd will just suck you in.
Yeah.
So some guys that I work with, they were saying they were thinking about doing a half day, like in the morning.
I can do that because that's your motivation. You just get things done and you say, okay, noon, it's
right.
All over.
Lunch.
I can see that almost working. I really could.
Yeah, so I'm on the fence between either doing that or I might even take the whole day and like join you and go to Kegs and Eggs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, my views have been clear on this subject.
Yeah, I know. So it's the thing is, I have a limited number of days, and like having the honeymoon and this being the wedding, you know, having to balance them all out. But
maybe the half day would be a nice compromise. I still think you would gain a lot out of a half day, even.
Yeah, yeah. So our time off goes by like the hour, so I can take like, you know, four hours off.
Wow.
And yeah, still have that in. So.
See, I'm lucky with our work. We don't have any sort of vacation schedule. It's just sort of an honor system.
Oh, really?
As long as you don't abuse it is our policy, which I like. So it's sort of the other way. That's just one of many ways my work differs from Rosetta.
So, so you heavily abuse it. you know, okay, so Sunday, Jen and I did some fake wedding band shopping.
Oh.
We should get that sound clip and just play that.
Anything in the show,
oh, we're just talking about our weekend. Sometimes it takes us a lot in here, okay. And sometimes we sail through it. We don't have any music penetration this week, though.
That's
so, so Jen and I went to, or I had gone to Tap Studios on East 40th to have right. Jen's engagement ring made, and he also does this workshop where you can go and make your wedding bands. Like kind of like it's like a 2-day thing. You go for 4 hours one day and you make it, and then they come back and they cast it, and there's a lunch involved, and it's kind of a cool, you know, event thing to do. So we're gonna do that around
Valentine's. We talked about that last week, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
We're gonna do that around Valentine's Day. But here's the sequel. Okay. You know, for people that didn't listen to episode 21, you know,
well,
I'm just,
it's all about me.
You're all caught up now. But for Jen's ring design, you know, she didn't know. Sometimes, like, the problem with making a ring is sometimes it's hard to picture in your head.
It's round?
You know, well, different styles.
Like stones are and things like
right,
that.
Right.
It's easy when you go and you look at a ring and say, like, oh, of these, you know, 12 rings, I
like this particular ring. But if you're just making it out of, you know, thin air, you kind of have to imagine a little bit more or have things to inspire you. So she wanted to go to, like, a jewelry store just to look at the rings. But then once you go there, you know, they start talking to you, and it's totally a sales kind of thing. And they're like sucking you in, and you're talking as if, you know, like they're talking about some workshop coming up where there's going to be this jeweler, and he's going to come in and make the rings here. Oh, it sounds very interesting. And yeah, we'll be back for that. And he's like handing me flyers. No, here's some for your friends. I'm thinking, I don't have friends, but yes, thank you very much.
Can I have some more?
Yes. And so Jen said she like felt guilty like leading these people on.
Well, she should.
I don't know if we should just.
You're both wasting their time.
I don't know if we should just go in and be like, look, we're having our rings made somewhere else, but we're just here to look at your rings to get ideas. Is that better?
I mean, as someone who's in sales, yeah, I would appreciate you saving me the effort.
Yeah, but you know what? We didn't go in there and say, like, I'm here to buy something.
Well, yeah, but if someone walks in, it's their job to get you to buy something.
It's the salesman's fault for talking.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with this line of thinking. But.
That's why I'm not in sales anymore. I hated people like me. Anyway, so yeah, on to more news. Enough about you and me, Jeff. Cold weather in Cleveland. So looking at the 5-day forecast for Cleveland, we're not breaking out of freezing anytime in the near future.
At least we're out of the teens, it looks like, for highs. That was when it was getting tough for me.
Yeah. Tomorrow is going to be a high of 32. And then, you know,
more like it.
The rest of the week, we're looking in the mid-20s. So,
if you're in Cleveland,
please pop it up. If you're in Cleveland and you have some cold weather things to deal with,
like Cynthia Maria Brown. Brownie, you've been searching your name.
Facebook.
Like computer Facebook fan.
Facebook fan of the day, Cynthia. So let's say Cynthia Brownie is looking for something to do in Cleveland.
That's the
benefit
winter. Of being a fan of it.
The awesome thing in Cleveland is the Metro Parks.
Metro Parks are an incredible resource that aren't used enough. I've always said that to you.
There's a cornucopia of winter-based activities to do in the Metro Parks.
Yeah, because people say the Metro Parks is only a summer... spring, fall thing. Mm. Not you.
No, Jeff. No, not at all. One of the cool things is tobogganing. Have you ever done the tobogganing chutes?
That is a lot of fun.
Tobogganing chutes are in the Strongsville area, the Strongsville Chalet.
It's the only good thing in Strongsville.
Wow. There go. See, all our listeners in Strongsville now, Jeff, are going to, you know that little list you like to see of where our listeners are coming from? The five people from Strongsville are going to stop listening.
They can listen to the Medina Internet Radio Show.
Yeah, exactly. That handles Medina County. Medina County Corn Radio Show.
Soulless Medina County. Anyway.
Radio show and corn forecast. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to post a link to the toboggan chutes on our website as I speak. So the cool thing, it's kind of, it's a, It's basically a chute. You have a sled that goes down.
Are you explaining what toboggan is?
Yeah, some people don't know. I didn't know until I went there.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you grow up in this country?
Yeah. Well, it's not like you traditionally. It's not like you traditionally think of a toboggan. It's not like in the Olympics where it's going down all these turns and stuff. That. Well, what? Okay, so if you don't picture that, you just picture this. Picture the straight chute.
The parents and kids go down and they go back up for more.
Okay. Well, I don't think that everyone knows that, so I shared it with them.
Cynthia knows.
Something to do in Cleveland during the winter. It's now on our Facebook page.
Sure, we're going to get to more important things like heroin addicts.
No. The only thing with that is you have to carry your toboggans up the hill.
Yes.
You would think with all this technology we have, they would have some sort of lift where you could hang them and they would like go.
I enjoy the challenge of it.
Yeah. No, you don't. When was the last time you've gone?
Oh, I went back in the late 90s.
The late 90s.
With John Carroll, we would do some events from John Carroll. We'd take people out there.
People?
Buses.
It's a good time.
It is.
So there's that. There's also numerous places to go sledding and skiing. Course, cross-country skiing. Lots of the golf courses are open, and you can actually go skiing on the golf courses, which is fun.
Yep.
I don't feel like you're supporting me in this, Jeff.
I want to hear more about toboggan.
I hate you.
Is it uphill or downhill?
I hate you.
When you get in the toboggan, are you going down or up?
Do you have a story to talk about? Because I want to make fun of you. I want my turn.
Yes. Jeremy, so many stories to talk about. How about, we've talked about internet scams, which was one of my favorite segments when you read that scam from the overseas guy trying to get you to wire him money.
Yeah, by the way, I think I got on some like mailing list because now I'm getting the amount of spam that I've gotten has increased. So I think, you know, we had checked. By the way, I'm sorry for not saying this before. A big shout out to Moscow. We had noticed that we had some people checking out our website from Moscow.
Yeah, we did. That's legitimate. I thought it was maybe an incidental search, but you said, no, they're on our website.
No, they went directly.
Directly.
They
to
typed
our website.
In radioshowonline.com from somewhere in Moscow.
I think that's who I know in Moscow.
They could be the spammers because I've started to get more spam emails.
Yeah.
So now they must like listen to the podcast and like maybe their English isn't that good and they think that we're really falling for this.
I got a live one, maybe they're saying.
Got a live one.
Jeremy Borger.
However you say in that in Russian.
Well, speaking of scams, we've seen the email scam, but there's a telephone scam. There was a hilarious article that this lady in San Diego got a call from this guy telling her she'd won $1 million and needed to send him the proverbial $100 to collect, which is a very typical format of a scam.
Right.
You won this, but you need to send this to collect.
Uh-huh.
She said she wasn't interested.
That's what we're going to say to Cynthia. Cynthia, you're our Facebook fan of the day.
Send us $100.
But please send us $100. Claim your prize.
So this woman didn't fall for it. She said, no, I'm not interested. And then the guy said, before she could hang up, he said, do you want someone to put a bullet in you? We know exactly where you live. So apparently now they're taking these scams to the next level and threatening to kill people if they don't believe it. Which to me is just, you know, there's got to be another victim. We've talked about, they do these scams because they work.
Yeah.
Obviously. If someone's not going to bite, why don't you just move on? Threatening to kill them and then just dragging this thing out. Then she calls the police and so on and so forth. They didn't catch the guy, but apparently now death threats are the last item of action in these calls for scams. So
it goes out first like, hey, you've won a bunch of money. Send us $100 to get a million.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no. Like, well, then we're going to kill you.
I know where you live. I'm going to kill you.
And then I would be like, well, am I still going to get the million?
Yeah. Is this part of the process?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not familiar with how you do things in Nicaragua. But here in America, we don't kill people to get
the good thing is these phone scammers are probably somewhere, you know, not near San Diego, probably somewhere far away. But it's just really kind of unbelievable that that's what it's come to now in these phone scams.
And I would think if to fly to this country and having to go to the trouble or having to then hire somebody to murder that person, and once you murder them, they're probably not going to pay you. I mean, then really all bets are off.
Yeah, then it's like, what is really worth it?
I mean, you're probably better off investing. You know some other sucker out there is going to send you $100. I should start sending out these scams.
Well, now another story in California. We're going to transition this beautifully, as I just did. I think that I mentioned...
They call this a segue.
If I talked to you last week about, you know, the medical marijuana facilities all over Southern California now, You know, everyone's smoking pot out there. Pot out there is like cigarettes here.
You were just in California.
I was. And I was talking about when I was at these places with people at parties. Pot is like cigarettes. Pot there is like cigarettes here. It was all over.
Yeah.
Anyone gets medical marijuana at these little, you got these little storefronts that are licensed medical marijuana places.
You just need like a headache or I'm depressed.
The line that they walk you through it, they say if you're having trouble, they say, oh, are you having trouble sleeping?
Yeah.
That kicks off what they need you to say.
I'm having trouble sleeping.
So medical marijuana users are now getting a pot soft drink.
A pot soft drink.
A California entrepreneur has plans to market a line of medical marijuana soft drinks. He's going to supply the medical marijuana dispensaries with his soda pot, as opposed to soda pop, which contains the active marijuana ingredient, THC. And marijuana drinks are already showing up here and there, but this guy's going to actually brand them and really try and mass market these things to the medical marijuana dispensaries.
I like some of the names that he has. Like he's got one that tastes like Dr. Pepper, and it's called Doc Weed. Like he's not even pardon the pun, but beating around the bush.
Right.
He's got orange flavored instead of Orange Crush, Orange Kush. I like that one.
That's good.
But then grape flavored Grape Ape. That one doesn't seem to fit to me.
Yeah.
Sour Diesel.
I like Sour Diesel too.
I don't know.
So there you go, California. Another way to get medicated.
I'm surprised that.
How many different ways can Californians get medicated?
I'm surprised that Proposition 8 didn't pass. Because, like you said, it seems to be so pervasive there that why not just legalize it?
I know. It's practically legal now, is from what people told me out there. It really is. So, but you're right. But there's such a liberal base, figure on San Francisco, that would be all for this. I am surprised. And my friend who's out there voted for it was surprised.
Yeah.
It didn't pass. I think it will eventually. Sometimes these things take a couple different ballots.
Right.
So there you go. So
the people that were really for it were sleeping at home.
Right. Yeah, that's they're getting them motivated to go to the
They're poll. Like, shoot.
They're like, can I just call and vote?
Proposition 8. I already have my doctor's note that says I can get I can get some. So why do I really need to vote for this? So they were just too unmotivated.
Too lazy. It's like when they get buses to take seniors to the polls to vote for Democrats.
Right.
They need to get buses like of people that are stoned to get them to the polls to vote for this.
Exactly.
We'll call them pot buses. So there you go.
So this a heroin addict. And this is a local story.
And that transitions to another drug.
Exactly. Heroin. Now, see, again, you don't hear about lots of pot murders because, again, just too lazy. Just too,
work.
Like...
Way too much effort.
As a matter of fact, if you're thinking about killing someone, I think you should take pot. And then you'd be like, forget it.
No big deal. He's not that bad of a guy.
Whatever. But a heroin addict is supposed to inherit $280,000 from the woman he murdered. This is from ClevelandLeader.com. So, there was a guy that was sent to prison in 2009. He was found guilty of killing his mother-in-law by strangling her, okay? So he admitted it, and then her daughter, his wife, inherited her mother's savings, all right? So you with me so far? Guy kills his mother-in-law, so his wife inherits the money from her mother. Well, now she died. And she has left everything to her husband. So the money goes from the woman to her daughter to her husband who had strangled the mother.
Oh, wow.
Comments?
What are the odds? Comes to mind?
What are the odds of that? Now, was this... I don't know if this was his plan all along. I'm not sure how his wife died, because she wasn't that... I mean, she was in her 20s.
Yeah, I want more information on this before I really dig into this. There's a lot. I have a lot of questions about exactly what you said. What happened to the wife?
Yeah, it doesn't say what... It says she died last February, but it doesn't say what happened to her.
I hope the authorities have taken our lead and they're going to look into that.
Yeah. Get on that, police. I don't know where this story's from yet. Well, it's bad news reading on my part. I'm sorry.
No, but you're right. It's a very disturbing story, dear. I'm glad you shared it with us.
All right, Jeff.
There are a couple things I want to talk about that we did see in Cleveland.com before we get all of our material. We just peruse Cleveland.com 10 minutes for the show. They did say...
Don't give away our secrets.
There's an article titled, we're always looking for things in the winter. Well, we do want to talk about Restaurant Week after this before we forget.
Yeah.
We'll close with that. But
sure.
There's an article about, it was titled, West Coast Inspiration to Melt Your Cold Cleveland Heart.
Hmm.
And they go through some different places around the city that they think are good places to go, get a nice hearty meal, warm up in this cold winter. And they mention Fatburger. Have you been to Fatburger?
Yes, there's one. Chain. There's one over in City View.
Transportation too, in
Garfield,
I guess. I've never been there before, but I didn't really know we had that here, so I would check that out. And they also mention one of my favorite places is Loop.
Loop is
a coffee shop in Tremont, and they said it's kind of got that. They're talking about like the West Coast feel. It's kind of got that Seattle feel. They sell vinyl records in there. It's two levels.
Yeah.
It's just a very cool, open, lofty type of coffee house.
I do like it there. Do you go there?
I do. I go there at least once a week just to kind of mix up and grab a coffee. And there's always people hanging out, you know, on computers. It's open at night, too. So it is a nice, like, kind of Seattle-type feel venue in Tremont, which I like a lot.
Loop is cool.
And they basically mentioned a bunch of other Mexican restaurants, which I guess just make you feel like it's a little more warmer.
Right.
So we'll mention Mi Pueblo restaurant and food market on Lorraine in Cleveland, they mentioned. Los Gallos. I took Spanish.
I have not been to Los Gallos.
Yeah, if you didn't know, you'd say Los Gallos. But I took Spanish with Los Gallos.
Oh, okay. Los Gallos.
That's on Broadway in Bedford. You don't get to Bedford enough, do you?
No, not too much.
Try and get there once every couple weeks. So that is it. So, and actually, there's a great Mexican place, Ohio City Burrito, on 25th, which I'm going to throw in.
All right,
if you're Mexican, go there.
I do like that. And right down the street from that is Barcento. There was an article about that recently. The cool thing about Barcento, it's a great place for like late night food.
Not only that, Jeremy, one of the few places in Cleveland that's open every day of the year.
Every day of the year, 365.
Yep. Christmas Day, New Year's Day. Every day.
So Barcento and Beer Market have the same kind of entrance. And then when you go in, you kind of hang to the left for Barcento, which is like...
a hard left, Jeremy.
A hard left. And then to the right for Beer Market.
Belgian beer. The beers are fantastic.
I do. I love the Delirium.
Very potent, Jeremy. You've learned that the hard way.
They're very potent. Except, you know what's not potent is the Frambois. Uh-huh. The raspberry Frambois is about 2.5% alcohol. So
take that out, though. I think you're going to find, you know, 9 out of 10 beers. You know, and even Stella, for me, hits me a little harder, I feel like. I don't know what the percentages of that, but I usually have Stella there, which is very good.
Next time you go to Beer Market, ask for a Dirty Hoe.
Okay.
It is... watch them laugh at you. No, it's a Hoe Garden, which is actually pronounced Hoe Garden. Do you know that?
No.
It's actually pronounced Hoe Garden. A Hoe Garden and a raspberry frambois mixed together is a Dirty Hoe. Which you don't normally get beers being mixed, but that's one of them. But anyway, Barcento has awesome pizzas, and they serve food until 2 in the morning.
Which we need over there. And actually, even in Tremont, you're really captive to that horrible Edison's pizza place, which I don't like at all.
Oh, you don't like Edison's?
I don't like that pizza. I like the old pizza. It was next door deli till about 2007.
Yeah.
And they technically left. They tried to open their own restaurant. Edison's took the kitchen over.
Yeah.
And then when they came in there, I don't like this pizza.
Oh,
pizza comes out. I wanted to bring this guy's necks there, and we're getting some pizza after the bar crawl.
But then you realize you're not 60 years old and you don't ring necks.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock his block off.
The pizza comes out of the oven, and then I want the pizza just like that. Give me the pizza out of the oven, right?
Right.
Is that unreasonable?
What did he do? Put it in the fridge first?
No, he's got his thing he does. He takes it out, and I was like, no, to myself, but I was too tired to fight him. It's like how he does it. It's his little unique spin on pizza. The pizza comes out. He has to put it on the counter, goes to a big thing of butter, and basically like pastes butter all around the crust. There's a big layer of butter all around the crust.
Yeah.
Slabs on the butter all around the crust. Then he gets a bunch of cheese and sprinkles the cheese all around the crust on top of the
like
butter.
Like Parmesan cheese.
So it sticks, yeah. And then he puts more cheese on the pizza and then he gives it to you. So it's all gooey, buttery, the crust.
It sounds horrible, Jeff. It sounds awesome.
No, I'd rather have the pizza out of the oven like a normal person, but that's what he does. That's how they do it. So that's what you have to do. I hate it. So back to my original point, which was you go to Barcento for a great pizza without the butter on the crust and the cheese till 2 a.m. End of rant.
So Jeff Longsworth, Barcento, thumbs up. Edison's, thumbs down.
Two thumbs down.
I love Edison's. Their back patio in the summer.
I'm not saying I don't like the bar. I'm saying the pizza and the way they handle their pizza really frustrates me.
Well, I think a lot of people would disagree with you on that one. You can write to Jeff at hatemail@radioshowonline.com and let him know if Edison's pizza is good or bad.
Ring next.
So anyway, yeah, we're wrapping up here. Did want to make one kind of like a teaser story because this is a couple weeks away, and since it's food in Cleveland, you know, we'll talk about
it. Food, beer, or pot, we're on it.
Food, beer, or pot. That should be our slogan. If it's food, beer, or pot in Cleveland,
we're doing a show.
We'll cover it. I bet we would get like an increase in listeners if we added that to
the California, our second biggest market anyway, would only increase, Jeff.
That is true. California is second in states next to Ohio. But yeah, Downtown Cleveland Restaurant Week, not to be fooled by other Restaurant Week rip-offs out there. This is the original Downtown Cleveland Restaurant Week starts February 21st. To me, this is one of those must-do, must-participate in some way things in Cleveland. So for those of you who haven't experienced it before, they have about 40 of downtown's restaurants are participating. So each restaurant has a $30 three-course menu. So you can go into some of these places and it's like a preset menu where you pick one appetizer from their specialty, you know, their restaurant week menu, one appetizer, one entree, and one dessert for $30. Really good deal. The difference is the twist they're doing this year is a bunch of them are also doing lunch. So then they have a lunch menu that's $15. So you can do dinner for $30, $15 for lunch. They have special parking rates. So a bunch of downtown parking lots are going to be $2 after 5 if you're going to Restaurant Week. So yeah, it's going to be a good time. You can get more information at downtowncleveland.org, or you can tune into Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy because we will be covering it more in depth in the next couple of weeks. And that's it. 8:12. Time to wrap up. Jeff, any final words?
Another great show, Jeremy.
Another great show, if you do say so yourself.
Yes.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook if you haven't already. RadioShowOnline.com is the place to go. We do this live every Monday at 7:30 Eastern. Join us in the chat room. Email us at hatemail@RadioShowOnline.com. If there's anything you would like for us to talk about in future episodes.
We have a minute, Jeremy.
Yes, we do. 2 minutes.
I want to talk about something.
Okay.
We're going to get to 100 fans by next Monday. I'm guaranteeing it now. I'm calling my shot.
By next week from today.
We'll be before February 1st. We'll be 100 fans, and we're going to celebrate that 100th fan. My friend Dave Bedell, who was out with Saturday Night, said he likes the show. He was saying how much he enjoyed the show. And he said, I actually was going to unlike and keep liking you with hoping that might keep adding on to the base.
Oh, yeah.
Taking his away.
It doesn't work.
He goes, I want you to get to 100, Jeff. So I said, Dave, you know what? We're going to do this. So by next Monday, 100 fans, Jeremy, you and I, we're going to celebrate.
He's part of the Jeff and Jeremy army.
Yeah, he is. They're armed with business cards.
Yeah.
They know what their mission is.
Armed with business cards, and they're afraid to talk to women.
And odds that aren't good, but they're going to go about their job of trying to get fans for the show.
Well, good luck, Dave, and to all of our fans.
Yeah.
Anyway, for Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, until next week, this is Jeremy.
This is Jeff.
100 fans are bust. By next week, Jeff promises, or else you'll do...
Well, I do have a backup plan. I'll just make up 7 new Facebook accounts that'll like it.
Okay. Loser. All right, bye.
Yeah.